Well, we've been in Philippians, and we're going to close Philippians out today. Philippians 4 is where we're going to be. Philippians 4. I'm up just a little high. Am I too loud? Am I loud enough? Everybody hear me? Okay, good. All right, Philippians 4. Philippians 4 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Here, Paul's writing. He's in prison, but I think at this time he's in a rented house. He's still in trouble, but he's not in a dark dungeon. Things have got a little better for him. And I think he's in a rented house at this time. And if I mess that up, Brother Ark can straighten that out later. But I think that's where he's at. Let's go back in time now, and let's remember that sometimes he was in a dungeon. And today we have these penitentiaries with TVs and all forms of entertainment and nice cots with mattresses on them and air conditioning, and they do everything they can to keep these prisoners happy so that they won't be rioting and carrying on. But in that day, it was dungeons, and it was bad. But also, it got a little bit better because now he's come up a little bit nearing the end of his journey of his imprisonment. And Paul is at a point now to where he's in the rented house. He's got some people around him, and he's got the ear to some of these people because now that he's still incarcerated and he's kind of going back and forth between the courts, he's able to make friends with some of the people that are Caesar's or Nero's. And he's conversing with them. He's if we go back in Philippians and some of the other letters, he's had his guards have been saved. Other people that have been around him have been saved. He's been a blessing to everybody around him. And he's now writing a letter in Philippians to the Philippian people where he came from. They saw Paul when he was beaten and when he was imprisoned. And he's remembering them. He said, "My dearly beloved, I was there and you saw me beaten. I was there and you saw me how I acted when, for the Lord's sake, I did the things that I did." And you know that part of being a Christian is you have to act a certain way. And I want you to follow me because I did everything I could so that I'd be an example for you. So Paul has made himself an example, not only to the Philippi church, but also to the people around him. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. But he's sitting there, he's saying, "Therefore, my beloved, my dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord." And he's telling, stand fast in the Lord. You, the Church of Philippi, or you, the Church of Grace Baptist, or you, the Church of Madisonville, or you, the people that has seen me, stand fast in the Lord. Therefore, stand fast. Now, I want us to look back in chapter 3, why we have to stand fast, okay? So let's look in chapter 3, verse 15. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Let us mind the same thing. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Paul is telling them, look for Christ. Now, I want us to think about this real quick. Paul is telling them to keep an eye, look for Christ. Today, we talk about we look for Christ. We look for his appearing, his coming. Well, this was 2,000 years ago when this was written. So this started 2,000 years ago. And of course, if you go back into 2 Peter 3, verse 8, I think it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. For this one thing I show you, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So this day of the Lord started 2,000 years ago. These last days that we live in. We live in the last days. We live in the last days of the last days. And these things started back then. And what were these things that started back then, in these last days? And as I thought about that, let's go to, real quick, 2 Timothy 3. Be a few pages to your right. 2 Timothy 3. And verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That started 2,000 years ago and has gotten worse and worse and worse till today. It's blatant in our face. And even now, it's in the churches more so than it ever has been. And it's accepted. I thought of this one thing when I was reading that, and I always looked at that, disobedient to parents. And I thought, well, kids are going to be unruly. But then as I restudied that, I thought of this one thing. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be disobedient to parents. Do you realize that we live in a time to where there is more grandparents raising grandchildren than there are parents? There's a great number of grandchildren raising kids because the men are disobedient to the grandfathers. You see, in that day, there was no word for grandfather. There was just fathers. Father Abraham. Father was a term of the generations, the older men. And here, these men are disobedient to their parents. Today, we have people that can't even raise their own kids, and the grandparents have to step up and have to take over raising the kids. We've heard it time upon time again. That's just a normal thing now. That wasn't so 20-something years ago. That wasn't so back in y'all's days when Brother Jay, the only time that a grandparent had to come up in your day and raise kids is if the parents got killed. But now we have disobedience. So I'm getting at this is getting worse and worse and worse, but it started 2,000 years ago. So in that, let's go back to Philippians 4 now. Therefore, my brethren, and in verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. Recognize that you are where you are right now, and it's going to get worse. So if you want to bring it up into today's terms, let's go tune on it into Andy Griffith, and let's watch Barney Fife, and let's hear him say, nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Stop right there. And that's where we have to catch ourselves. And listen, it's went on 2,000 years. So if these people had trouble with it then in the church, what about us today? We've got to really watch ourselves. I've got to watch me. I'm looking at y'all, but this is directed towards me. Because those things that I said happened in the last days over at 2 Timothy, I find those things in me. I find those things in my flesh. And you know what I got to do? I got to look in the mirror and see Barney Fife and say, Larry, I've got to nip that. Larry, I've got to stand. I've got to turn back and you know, I can't let this go on in my life. Because if it goes on in my life, it'll go on in my job. It'll go on in my marriage. It'll go on in my family. It'll go on in my church. It'll just go on. So stand fast is where we're at. I'm going to teach this a little bit backwards. I'm going to go up now, and we're looking back at this. We're going to go to verse 8, because we're looking back 2,000 years. He's teaching at verse 1 up to verse 8. I'm going to go to verse 8, and we're going to look the other way. Verse 8 starts out with, finally. So we're looking at it backwards. So we're going to say, first thing, here's what we need to do. The very first thing. Verse 8. It says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think ye on these things. Now, y'all didn't know it, but here's going to be a pop quiz. Everybody ready? Got your thinking caps on? Ten Commandments. Okay? Ten Commandments. I was sitting there in the bed this morning. I was reading this and studying. I thought, I need to think on these things. And I thought, wait a minute. Ten Commandments. Okay? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff, for lack of a better way to butcher that. But there's 10 of them. What's some of the others? What did I miss? What? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. I got that one, didn't I? What? I thought I had that. I think I got that one. But here's my point. I'm a Christian. I'm teaching Sunday school, and I can't off my cuff come up with the Ten Commandments. That's pretty pitiful. Right there, you ought to mark me and kick me out of here. I mean, but if I, as a part-time Sunday school teacher, can't come up with that, how many preachers are there out there behind pulpits in front of 200 or 300 people that can't come up with it off the cuff? You've got to look it up. What a day do we live in? Now, I'm talking about Ten Commandments, and we're not even talking about the Jew and the tallit that he wore. Remember how we studied the tallit, and it had all the fringe on it, and the fringe was made up of 613 threads, and those 613 threads on the bottom of the tallit stood for the 613 commandments of God? I can't get 5 out of 10, and here they're worrying about 613. And Paul writes to us and says, finally, so we're looking back at it, we're going to go first of all, because we're looking backwards at it, think on these eight things. If you're going to stand fast in the Lord, at least do these eight things. And these eight things are guarding your mind. Think. If all else fails, when you think. You know, I drive down the road, I think. I'm in my truck at work, I think. I'm in front of TV sometimes, and I think. I sit down to eat, I think. I wake up in the morning, I think. I think all the time. It's a wonder I don't wear myself out thinking. If your heart was to race, if thinking was like exercise, I'd be dead before 10 o'clock. What's in the Alice in Wonderland, The queen said, sometimes I think of impossible things. And the queen, I think, says, sometimes I think of 10 impossible things before breakfast. She said, there's nothing but what I'm getting at, thinking. God, Paul says, think, verse 8, where am I? Brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and you can praise God from it. Think on these things. Catch your thoughts, Larry Jones, as they come into your head. And if they don't pass this litmus test, if they don't fall in those eight categories, 4 points of the compass is north, south, east, west, and now let's just throw in northeast, southeast, southwest, and northwest. Let's just cover the whole compass. Larry, if in your mind these thoughts come at you or from your heart, and they don't cover these eight things, don't think about them. Cast them away. Stand fast. Because if you let these in, you're in for a mess. You're going to fall into that place where those people in 2 Timothy we were talking about, lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful. I guarantee you, if we just... I couldn't come up with 5 of the 10 commandments this morning. I definitely can't come up with any of the 613 of the Talit. But now, you know what? If I just come up with one of these things for my mind, if I come up with just one during the day, and I say, okay, I'm driving down the road, and brethren, whatsoever things are true, well, you know what? Right there, ding, ding, ding. That's one of my biggest problems I've had my whole life. I have been, and listen, you don't think daydreaming is a sin? That's been one of my favorite things, man. I can daydream about a boat. I can daydream about skiing. I can daydream about whatever I want to daydream about. And you know what? It don't cost me nothing. Wrong. It does. Daydreaming puts you not in the world of reality, but in the world of make-believe, and takes you places you don't need to go, and makes you think things you don't need to think. Larry Jones, remember, this is my problem. So if I just remember one of these, just think on things that are true. When I catch myself in a daydream, it's usually taking me where I don't need to go. All right, then whatsoever things are honest. Wow. You see what I mean? If we just think on these things, we'll pretty much have our ships steered along the right course. Am I making sense? Do you see where I mess up at? So he's saying just do these things. Now, I want us to think, we're going to do this kind of backwards. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Worry is the worst thing we can possibly do because, number one, if we're worried about it, it's because we can't do nothing about it. Right? We can't do nothing about it because we worry about it. Well, it's easy to say don't worry. But you know what? If we do worry, sometimes we connive. Sometimes we think things we shouldn't think. And we try to finagle and twist and make a way to where we can get out of something. And you know what? If you go back into that 2 Timothy, the men shall be lovers of themselves, covetousness. And, well, if I only was able to rob a bank and get enough money, then I could go pay that bill. You know, see what I mean? Their thoughts. See where I'm going with all this? So, that being said, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If I worry about it, I'm going to try to do something about it. But if I pray, if I turn it over to God, if I said, Lord, what's Solomon Olabi famous for saying? Lord, I can do nothing. Lord, I need you. And God, how many times have we seen God work in Solomon's life? We forget that we have a God we can go to. When too many times we've been raised up, I was raised up as a young boy to be a man. You don't ask nobody for nothing. You work hard, you get it on your own. You don't, you know, pride, all that. And it's like, no, cry out to our God. Lord, what do you need? What do I need to learn out of this? Why am I in the position I'm in? Lord, show me something that I need to learn. You know, there's all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Lord, why am I in this? Show me. Help me, Lord, to praise You on the other side whenever I realize what it is that I'm supposed to. You know, what? See what I mean? There's a bigger picture. And that verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And when you do that, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. I have known people with cancer. Absolutely would drive me insane, would drive me nuts. And you know what they say? Praise God. A peace that passes my understanding. How in the world can somebody who loses a loved one finally come to the point to where they're okay with it? Peace of God that passes understanding. When you're in the storm, you want the other side. You want to get to the peace of God, that place that passes all understanding. But until then, we worry. We have all these turmoils, these things in our lives. We're going to teach this backwards. Let's go to verse 5 now. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Remember, He's saying, look for the Lord's coming. These are the last days. And now we live in the last of the last days. Let your moderation, let your kindness, let your gentleness, let your peace, let your long-suffering, let your love, your moderation be known unto all men. We live in a time today to where we're laughed and scoffed and we're mocked and ridiculed because we're weak. Christians are weak. Jesse Ventura said, well, there's no way I'd be a Christian because I'm a strong man. I'm Jesse Ventura. I was a Navy SEAL. I was a governor. You don't understand. I was a pro wrestler. And you Christians are weak. Amen. A little later, Paul's going to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But getting back here, verse 5, let your moderation be known to the world because the Lord is at hand. The world will see you. I think of, there again, Solomon, how that I have nothing. I have nothing. I trust God. And how great a blessing He's been to us who've watched His life through the years. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. You know what? I love, George, where you at? You're not up there. He's over. I love here, George. Isn't it the neatest thing to walk in here and hear, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love that. I hope I never have a time that I don't get to hear him say, praise the Lord. Rejoice always. Blowed my tire out, a little tough, but well, praise the Lord. Because it might be a story like Ronnie Cargill. There could have been a big truck with no brakes up in front of me and the Lord blew my tire out. You know? Just pray. It's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing. The Lord's going to take care of it. It's hard to live that way, folks. I'm Larry Jones. I'm not used to that. But yet the Lord tells me, just wherever you're at, rejoice. Let the peace of God enter your life instead of this worry and stuff that you're in. Now we're going to teach this backwards, and I'm going to go to a fictitious part. I'm going to make up a story because I don't know how to teach verse 2 and 3. Let's read verse 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche is how that's pronounced, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, I read on this on the commentary, and it said Paul is not saying these two women are arguing. He is saying he just beseeches them to be of the like mind. They're both great women in the church. They have done some things to help Paul, and they've been after the furtherance of the church, but some reason they're not like-minded. So I think two women not like-minded means an argument to me, but I don't know that for sure. So what I did, I kind of made up a story. But before I get into that, I want us to go here that I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord, and I entreat thee also, true fellows, help these women which labored with me in the gospel and with Clement. So before we get into that, there's two women, there's actually three women. There's Syntyche, there's Euodias, and there's Clement. Now I'm going to paint a picture in your mind real quick if you'll just travel with me. We're going to go to Henderson. Everybody been to Henderson? Go north into Henderson, and there's a north. It runs north and south, right? There's a Thornton's gas station on the right side, okay? And there's a Thornton, and that's for the northbound traffic. And the same company owns a Thornton's gas station on the left side of the road, which is on the southbound lane. So the same company has got everybody going north and everybody going south, right? Now, where the fictitious part comes in. Let's pretend that Euodias has the Thornton station going south and Syntyche has the Thornton station going north. Everybody with me? We're going to pretend that these two are sisters, although the Bible doesn't say they are. They're sisters in Christ, so we're going to call them physical sisters, okay? And Clement is their friend, their confidant, their buddy. And I didn't tell you, there's also a farmer involved in this fictitious story. There's four people. Getting deep in it. Y'all get interested in this yet? Okay. The Thornton stations are not gas stations. They're tomato stations. They're tomato stands. Okay? So Euodias is selling tomatoes to everybody going south, and Syntyche is selling tomatoes to everybody going north. Everybody with me so far? Now, their friend is Clement, and there's a farmer that they get the tomatoes from. Now, Euodias is working real hard in the church. She's working real hard. You know what? She wants a new dress. She wants a new dress to go to church in, and she's going to have to sell a few more tomatoes to do it. Now, it doesn't make any difference that people buy big red ripe tomatoes for their salads. They buy the little rougher looking tomatoes for canners. And they buy the roughest tomatoes probably and just juice them and drink them real quick. All three tomatoes sell. But Euodias gets in her mind that she wants a new dress. And to get that new dress, she's got to have a little more. She's getting a little worldliness in her. Some of these things that God said finally don't do. You know, she's conniving. Instead of asking God for a new dress, she says, I'll just sell more tomatoes. So what she does is she goes to the farmer an hour earlier that morning before Syntyche does. And she bats her eyes and she grins at him real big and she says, I'm going to give you a nickel more a pound and I want all the good tomatoes. The farmer who goes to church with both of them has been taking care of giving them all red ripe tomatoes, few of the canners and some of the others because they sell them to all different people. They're both sisters. They're both selling on the same road. But Syntyche, or Euodias, wants a new dress. So Euodias has now got all the good tomatoes and Syntyche shows up an hour later and there's no good tomatoes for her stand. Now we've got two sisters, one confidant, Clementine, and a farmer that's all going to the same church. But one woman wanted a new dress. And now we got turmoil, and Syntyche is running to Clement and saying, Clement, my sister has took all the good tomatoes, and now I don't have any good tomatoes for my customers, and all the people that are going north, they're having wrecks trying to get in over there to get to those good tomatoes at Euodias' stand, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to give up my stand over here because I can't pay the rent. So now all of a sudden, she gets in her mind, if I've got to do more, I'm going to pay 6 cents more a pound to the farmer, and I'll get there an hour earlier, and see, we've got conniving going on. You see what I mean? So this is going all because we want a new dress. The farmer shows up for church. There's a full-fledged fight out in the parking lot because tomorrow we're going to try to figure out what time he gets out of bed so we can be there. And you see, it just gets deeper and deeper. Don't worry. We're going to get into that in just a minute. And what I'm getting at, do you see where it starts? It starts with something as innocent as a new dress. If we did the whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just. You see what I mean? If we controlled Otis's thought, we wouldn't have been in this situation. And guess where it all happens? Not only out there in life, not only in our minds, not only among our friends, Clement, who's tore between, I've got to listen to her and I love her, and I've got to listen to her and I love her, and And then we've got the farmer drug into it, and before long, preacher comes in here and says, what in the world is going on with you people? Why are y'all throwing songbooks at each other? You see what I mean? All because of a new dress. All because we didn't control those eight thoughts. All because these things of the world crept in. All because we didn't just trust God, pray, be happy where we were. Paul says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul said, you know what, y'all took care of me first, and I appreciate it, and I was so thankful that you done it. You did it, and you know what, it goes to your account. I'm not only glad to be the recipient of it, I'm glad that you have a giving, loving heart. I'm glad that that giving, loving heart is shown out to everybody. The world sees it, and you know what, God sees it. And God is going to bless you because you bless others. And I'm happy for you with that. And it just so happens I happen to be a recipient of it, and I thank you for that. But then, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore with to be content, whether I need a new dress or not. You know what? Yeah, I need this, but hey, you know what? I got a job in Henderson. We was just talking about it earlier. I drive 33 miles to work, 33 miles back. My car has got 235,000 miles on it. My tires are good. My brakes are good. My car don't use oil. It cranks and runs every day. It is a blessing. Now, I could look at that and say, Teresa, I need a new car. And y'all could say amen right there. But nobody did, so. But I'm thankful that I've got my old car. I'm thankful that my old car is paid for and still running. I mean, that's, where's George? Praise the Lord. You see what I mean? But how many people do you see, oh, stupid old car, honey, I've got to have me a new one. You know, be content with what you say. You know what? I don't have a car payment, so guess where I get to go if I want to? I get to go to Walmart and buy groceries because I like eating a whole lot better than I like making car payments. So I mean, be content. You know what? And if the old car breaks down, guess what? Praise the Lord, I got a AAA card. You know whose money I paid for it with? I paid for it out of her checkbook. Praise the Lord. How about that? You know what? That's what I'm getting at. Just be content where you are. Sure, I could have a brand new truck. And you know what? I could have to have another job to make the payments on it. And I did that to myself one time. I went out and bought a brand new Yukon because I deserved it. $545 a month for 48 months. And I thought, why did I do this after I made about two or three of them payments? Be content with what you have. I've learned to be content with such as I have is what Paul says. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know what? We use that a lot of terms, a lot of different ways. But really what that means is I can adapt. You know what? I can adapt. If it's hot today, well, I can wipe sweat. I can find a shade tree. I'd like to have air conditioning. Really love air conditioning. But if I have to, I can roll my windows down. My old car, the air conditioner goes out on it. Until I get the money to fix it, I can roll the windows down. Window won't roll down. I can break it out too. I can adapt. If I get cancer, can I adapt? Well, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me the strength to do it. It's easy to say, praise God, I'll do this, Lord, I'll do that. Well, Lord may have us have a broken foot and hobble around in front of people. Lord may have us do worse. Why? Because there's lost people at the hospital that's going to work on you. They're going to look at you. Your testimony shine then, Larry Jones? Or are you going to complain? I'm going to learn to adapt. I've learned to adapt because I can do all things when Christ gives me the strength to do them. Wherever He has me, we are to shine a light to a dark, lost, and dying world. Sometimes we're called to do that in the great times. Sometimes we're called to do that in the sad times. All things work together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm going to skip ahead. I want us to look at this real quick. Verse 21. And we're going to close here. Verse 21, salute every, hang on a second, my glasses here. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household.
A lot of times we look at the closing parts of his letters and we just think, well, it's at the end, amen, done. We pass the meat. But for me, the meat was in these two verses. Paul was in a rented house at this time. Is that right? He has got the ear of Caesar and Nero's people. So he's meeting with the magistrates, the governors, the more important people about this time. Is that correct? Okay. Some of those people got saved. The soldiers around him. These are people. They're not Jewish people. They're Greeks. They're people that this Christianity thing is new to them. Paul has given them his testimony. They know what he has gone through to get here and the way he has acted while in custody. This man deserves to be released, if nothing else, for good behavior. But yet he's going to be beheaded. This man has not only lived his life in front of these people and they have got saved. They have come to God because of what Paul has done in his life, but also what Paul has told them about the people in Philippi. And when he writes this letter, he says, they salute you. They say, praise the Lord for you. They say, thank you for what you've done for Paul, because Paul's here and he has shown us Christ. And if it hadn't been for you, we wouldn't know Jesus. They hear saying, praise the Lord, keep on. I looked this up. I think his name was Evellus. Evellus was one of the
the head administrators to Nero. He was saved. And he was later martyred. When you can choose Christ with your life, knowing that the man who told you about Christ is going to get his head cut off, and watch him get his head cut off, and still say, I choose Jesus. You can see why that it's important that this man facing martyrdom and was martyred still believed. We have a very important mission that God has given each of us. We need to guard our minds with those eight things. Because when the world creeps in, it takes us off task. It takes us into places we don't need to be, and the world sees us. And we can't be used of God when we're of the world. So, Larry Jones has got to look at things differently. Because a lot of times, Larry Jones has the world's goggles on instead of God's view of it. Close up prayer. Jay, close us up in prayer.
Dear Lord, as we pray for you this morning, Lord, to pray for you. Lord, we come to you this morning, and not with the Christian services, Lord. We pray that you stand before us tonight morning, this morning, we will have to pray the message from this Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the place that you called this past week. Thank you.